since that this time of the year is associated largely with a star, I thought I would talk about the star. I think you'll find it very interesting. We're in Revelation, we're in the 8th chapter, and what we've been talking about is wormwood. Revelation 8, 10, and 11. A third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. I have a very strong suspicion that this star is a star chosen by God as a star of judgment, and it may be parallel with the star that the wise men followed. You're going to see why I say that in about two shakes of a sheep's tail. But over in Numbers, the 24th chapter, verse 17, we have the prophecy of Balaam. Now remember, we're in the way back in the beginning. Israel is headed toward the promised land, and Balaam is being used by the Moabite king to try to divert them, and God won't let him, and so he suddenly has this visionary view of the future. And Balaam says, I shall see him. He is referring to the coming Messiah. But not now. He said, I can't see him now because he hasn't come. I shall behold him. He said, I will look upon him. But he said, not now because he hasn't come, but not nigh. Then he says, there shall come a star out of Jacob. Jacob being renamed Israel. Out of Israel's loins, the man Jacob, eventually came David. And out of the loins of David came two sons, Nathan and Solomon. And both Mary and Joseph are in their direct bloodline so that Jesus could be born a son of David. Now he says, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Well, I've already preached on that, covered what a scepter is, described it fully. I'm concentrating on a star, the star that was to be born out of the line of David through Jacob. Now, in order to follow what I'm talking about, we have to really take a look at the way the ancients looked at the stars. Whenever God taught man something, God always taught it in earthly parables, and I'll say usually taught it in earthly parables, where he'd take something that men already knew, even though they might have misappropriated the correct understanding of it, and he would apply that so they could understand heavenly things. On the screen you see a little boy and a little girl looking up at the sky, and they say, God has all his lights turned on so we'll know he's home. So these two children are looking up at the stars, and they're calling the stars God's lights. Well, the ancient people looked upon the stars as an object of worship. And many of the ancient cultures worshipped the stars. They worshipped Saturn. They worshipped Mars. They worshipped many of the stars. Now, back then, they didn't distinguish between planets and stars. Anything that shined brightly in the heavens was a star. And star worship is what actually gave birth to not astronomy, but astrology. And so the ancients would pick out these stars and worship them. Now, they had some beliefs about these stars that's very interesting. Whenever a star would first appear for the first time, and they had never seen it before, that was like the birth of a god. This was the birth of a new god. Well, about the only thing they ever saw that suddenly came into existence as a star that they had never seen before was a comet. And when a comet would suddenly appear as it approached the sun and it started actually producing a long condensation trail behind it, of vapor to shine brightly in the heavens and hadn't been seen before, they would say that was the birth of a god. And then when it went out, sometimes they would relate that to the death of a god. So in the ancient culture, God made sure that he called himself the Lord of hosts. And when it says the Lord of hosts, it means the Lord of the stars. In other words, they were worshiping the stars as gods. And he said, I am the God of all hosts. And angels are often referred to as stars, figuratively and emblematically in the book of Revelation and in other places. And so we're talking about a star. Now, that's what wormwood was. Now, I've shown you what I believe wormwood is. I believe it's a wandering star that suddenly appeared. Jude, raging wave, Jude 13, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. A comet would appear. It would be like the birth of a god. It would disappear. It would be like the death of a god. And so as you look on this screen, you can see a comet shows up quite well in the heaven. The last comet that came through here, everybody got to see it with the naked eye. I suspect that the star that the wise men saw were a comet. I'm going to show you why I believe it was a comet, and I'm going to go through the reasoning why. Now, if a comet comes close enough by the earth, and if the melting is intense enough, believe me, even the naked eye, you can see a comet in the heavens. and you can actually pick it out and see that a star has never been there before. Now, at the birth of Christ, I'm going to show you what I think God did. Now, could I be wrong?
Sure.
But it's this time of year. It's the time where we celebrate the wise men following the star, and I think you'll find this interesting. Now, this chart that you're looking at is a chart that I've shown several times. We now know that this little small area that you see here in the center, I have in yellow, very small, represents our entire solar system. In other words, inside that solar system, you'll find Mercury, you'll find the Earth, you'll find Venus, you'll find Mars, you'll find Saturn, you'll find Jupiter, you'll find Uranus, you'll find Pluto, you'll find Neptune. That's our entire solar system inside that little yellow area. Now you can see this vast circular area around it of literally trillions of little tiny white specks. Those little white specks represent comets. There are trillions of comets in a great cloud around our solar system extending out for a great distance. It's called the Oort cloud. Now, if you know what you're doing, if you're God, and you'd have to be God to do this, you can pick out one of those that's just the right size at just the right time, and you can send it into our solar system. And if you're God, and you could only do this if you were God, you'd have to pick the exact size, the right time, and send it roaring into our solar system. When it comes into our solar system, it always heads toward the sun and goes around it. Once in a great while, it'll strike the sun. But God has made our solar system where the actual weight of balance of the gravitational pull of all the planets causes the comet to go all the way around the sun. Some comets come in, make what's known as an elliptical orbit around the sun, and then they go all the way around in an ellipse, come back 76 years later, like Halley's Comet, then keep going back around. Some of them come in one time in a large parabolic arc, make a complete circle, go all the way around, and then are never seen again. Some of them have periods that are like 76 years, 75, 76 years. That's Halley's Comet. But some of them have periods that last for thousands of years. You may not see one for 3,000 years after you see it the first time because it has a very long elliptical orbit. But the point I want to make is only God could do what I'm about to describe to you, but he made the universe, he owns, operates, and controls it. When he calls a comet out of this Oort cloud, it looks like a star when it starts to melt. This is the orbital track of Halley's Comet. You can see it's an elliptical orbit, and it goes around about once every 75, 76 years, and we get to see it. Each person usually gets to see it if he lives a generation or so, and there's Halley's Comet. But see, some of them come in on long elliptical orbits, and instead of 76 years, it may be a very, very long time before it's actually seen. Now, here's the problem. Here's a comet coming in. It comes in, and it goes around the sun. You see the sun right here. Now, you see the Earth's orbit. Here's the Earth's orbit going around the sun. So you've got several things to contend with. No human could do this. No computer could do this. God alone would have to understand how to pick out one just the right size at just the right time and send it in at just the right angle where it would do what I'm about to show you. But when a comet comes in, it goes around the sun. Sometimes it goes in a huge, gigantic, wide arc and may not come back for 2,000 or 3,000 years. Sometimes it goes in a short arc. Sometimes it goes all the way around and disappears and is such a parabolic arc that it's never seen again. But you got two things to contend with. The Earth's orbit around the sun and a comet which is going around the sun. Now, what will happen is a comet will come in. Sometimes when a comet comes in on the initial orbit, when people first start seeing it, it goes around and it's melting, the sun's shining on it, and people see it suddenly apparently come to life. They've never seen anything before. There it is, a star, a new star, a born star. Then it goes around behind the sun, the Earth's on this side of it, and the Earth is orbiting around the planet, around the sun, at the same time the comet is, so the comet disappears. But then, sometime later, as the comet comes around the sun and comes in view on the other side of the sun with the Earth still orbiting the sun, you get to see the same comet again, and it goes out into space. It comes to life again. It's like it was born again. It dies, and it comes back to life. There's an interesting thing about the wise men. We don't know how many there were, but we believe there were three. It's not important how many there were. But because they gave three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, most people say there were three. I have no idea how many there were. They could have all given equal proportions of that, so we don't really know how many wise men there were. The star of the birth of the king. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You see, many people would pick out gods and pick out stars like Saturn and Mars, and they would choose to believe that they were the stars of their god. The Egyptians did it. The Babylonians did it. Everybody did it. And so when God does this, when Daniel went into Babylonian captivity, of course, that was back in about 587 B.C. When Daniel went into Babylonian captivity, he became the prophet of the East where these kings were. He became great and prominent and existed through the reign of several Persian kings. He was a man highly thought of, highly respected, and he carried with him, because we know he quoted and read from it, the books of the writings of Jeremiah. So Daniel had thoroughly infiltrated their culture with the fact that one day a king would be born to an Israelite woman, and he would be a king who would establish a kingdom that would last forever. So these wise men were probably from somewhere right over around the Tigris-Euphrates River. And they knew that one day, from the writings of God, carried there by Daniel, that a king would be born. So when they saw this star suddenly come into existence where it hadn't been there before, and they were very acute people who watched the stars constantly, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, the important thing is here, they were seeking the kingdom of God. They were seeking this king. They were seeking to please God. They were seeking to worship him in spirit and in truth. So they had the right attitude in their heart, and they were looking for this promise that God had made of a king, a Messiah, born to the Jews. Now, bear in mind this. When this happened, the star came into existence on the night that Christ was born. That's when it was first appeared in the heavens. Here they are, way over in either Iran or maybe as far as India, but they're a long way from Jerusalem. They don't have cars, they don't have airplanes, they don't have these fast modes of transportation. You normally travel by a camel, or you travel by a donkey, or by some other type of animal. First of all, when they first saw the star, it would have been the time of the birth of Christ. That's when they first saw it. But consider how far away they are. Now, they were magi. They were very wealthy. They were probably had large contingencies. When they came, they probably brought their own little private army with them. And they traveled and came to Jerusalem. But they would have to get themselves together. They would have to prepare themselves for a long journey. They would have to get their companies assembled. And then they would have to take off on the journey. It would take them a very long time. So the wise men did not come and show up on the night that Christ was born. They actually saw the star. They're way over here. Christ is born over here. So they head for Jerusalem. It takes a while for them to get there. Now, we know that Christ was born probably in about 5 B.C. We know he was born somewhere between 4 B.C. and 7 B.C., but the calendars back then were based on the moon, and it has really fouled things up as to the exact date of the birth of Christ. Now, that's Matthew 2, 1 and 2 I just read to you. Now, I want you to notice in Matthew 2, 9 through 11. When they had heard the king, now they've appeared before King Herod. He's had his wise men, his scribes, his biblical experts check to see where the Messiah was to be born, and he tells them Jerusalem. Not Jerusalem, he tells them Bethlehem. So they head for Bethlehem. Now, they haven't seen the star for some time. They saw it in the east. They followed it. It went out. How do I know it went out? Because they would have continued to follow it, but it went out. They saw the star. They headed for Israel. The star went out, but they knew where it had appeared, in the east. And they knew already that the king was to be born in Israel. They knew that from the writings of Daniel. So they headed for Israel when they saw the star. Star goes out. So when they get there, there's no star. So they go to the king of Israel, naturally, and they ask him. He has to have his wise men, his scribes, biblical experts, look it up. And they look it up, and lo and behold, they discover it's in Bethlehem. Then they head for Bethlehem. All of a sudden, the star reappears. A miraculous event. It reappears. Then they follow the star. Now, we're going to take a look at that in just a moment. Now notice, and when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. It reappears again. They hadn't seen it, because all of a sudden it went before them. That's the reason they went to Herod,
because they couldn't see it. It went out. And they just kept going to the east because that's where it appeared. Now all of a sudden they see it again. Went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. That's very interesting, because if you juxtaposition a person just exactly right on the earth, as he moves and as a comet moves, if the comet is directly toward the north, it will appear suddenly to stand still. And comets go out. I think that this appeared over, they watched it. They headed toward Bethlehem. They kept following. They kept observing the star, and they kept moving. All of a sudden, it went out. I believe when it went out, they looked, and they were in front of the house where the Lord was. I think that's how they knew which house it was, because the thing went out just as they had looked up and seen it. You say, well, Brother McElroy, that's all speculation. I realize it, but it's interesting. Now notice, verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You see, they hadn't seen it for some time. That verse 10 validates that. When they saw the star, all of a sudden they saw it again. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, once the star got over the house, it stopped. It may not have gone out. I don't know that. But eventually, if it were a comet, it would have. But it stopped right over the house. And they suddenly looked where they were, saw the house, and went in. And when they were come into the house, and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. That's all Matthew 2, 9 through 11. Now, back here in Luke 2 and 8 and Matthew 2, 19. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by nights. I believe that was in 5 B.C. in the spring. I believe that's when they were there. They weren't there in the winter. Shepherds do not abide in with their flocks in the field, never have during the month of December. They do in the spring and in the fall. I believe Christ was born in the spring. I believe he was born just before Passover, or at least in the beginning of the Passover season. He was not born, I don't believe, on the 14th of Nisan. I believe he was born probably on the 10th of Nisan or somewhere around there about the time that the Paschal Lamb eventually surrendered. I believe that Christ actually was born sometime just before the Feast of Passover, or as the Feast of Passover started, which was culminated 7 days later with the actual sacrifice, the Paschal Lamb. Spring of B.C. 5. I think he was born 5 B.C. Now notice in Matthew 2:19, I've just read Luke 2:8. Matthew 2:19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, and appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. B.C. 4. Now, we know that when Herod died, it was in 4 B, that he didn't die until 4 B.C. So we know that Christ had to be born, not in accordance with the calendar we got from the Romans, but there's been a complete corruption of the whole timekeeping system back there because the Jews used the moon. So what I'm telling you about these dates is accurate. Herod the Great died in 4 B.C. So we know that Christ was born between 4 B.C. and 6 B.C. because Herod didn't die until long after he had already put the children to death. The reason that Herod went back and killed all the children under 3 years of age is because he couldn't tell exactly when Christ was born from the time that the wise men had told him, and he went back and killed all of them 2 years and under to make sure that he got the Christ child. He did an overlap. He did an overkill. He killed far too many. But the point I'm really trying to make is when they first saw the star, they were a long way off. Christ had already grown up, was probably between age 1 and 2, or at least approaching age 1, when they finally came down. In the spring of B.C. 5, the Chinese reported a comet moving across the skies. It was in the spring of 5 B.C., the Chinese, who were the most meticulous record keepers of all, saw a comet moving across the sky. I think Jesus was born during Passover, 5 B.C. Now, I don't necessarily say he was born on the day the Paschal Lamb was slain. I think he was born about the 10th of Nisan, the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But at least I believe he was born either just before the Passover or just as it was starting. I think he was probably born about the time that he was eventually crucified. Now, I think if God had wanted us to know what it was, he would let us know. But I certainly don't think it was December 25th. Now, taking a look at this chart, Daniel was in captivity way over here. Way over here is Israel. This looks like a very small distance on this map, but these people over here were known as the people of the east, and the people over here were known as the kings of the east, and these were magi. These were rulers. These were men who were of great learning. They were literally kings of the east. We three kings of Orient are, and they came from this area. It would have taken them a while. When these wise men came, Jesus was already walking. He was a small child. He wasn't a baby anymore by the time they showed up. Now, if you're interested in what frankincense and myrrh look like, this is frankincense, this is myrrh, and of course, we know what gold is like. These reasons are not such weird baby presents after all. Myrrh acts as an antibiotic and analgesic, great for a new mother. The Romans recommended frankincense for treating cuts and bleedings, so these would have been for medicinal purposes, or they could have even been for perfuming purposes. But whatever the case was, that's frankincense and myrrh, and they followed this star. Now, the fact that they suddenly rejoiced when they saw it again is evidence enough that it had gone out. They saw the comet in the east. It was a brand new star. They had never seen it before. It was quite prominent. They had the writings of Daniel. They knew the prophecies of the Old Testament through Daniel. When they saw this star, they said, "That is the star that will rise out of Israel." They knew who Israel was, the man Jacob, because Daniel's writings were very clear on that in the Old Testament, and he was in captivity in their area for about 70 years and was the prominent prophet before all the people in all that era of time. So they knew that out of this man Israel would one day come a star. And when they saw this, they believed it was the star that Balaam had referred to and that it was the star of the Messiah. So they headed toward it. It went out. But they knew where it had been. They knew where the king was supposed to be born. They kept right on going. When they got to Israel, because they couldn't see it anymore, they went to Herod. Herod, you know what happened when they went in through Herod, and he told them Bethlehem. Okay, they had Bethlehem. They head for Bethlehem. Bingo! It suddenly appears again. And when they get to the place, it suddenly stands still. Now, only God can do this. God controls the heavenly bodies. And to do what I'm saying, it requires an absolute miraculous act on the purpose of God to do it. When a comet comes in, it goes around the sun. So does the earth that you see here. It goes across. This is the sun here in the middle. This is the summer solstice, the vernal equinox, the winter solstice, and the autumnal equinox. As the earth goes around the sun, when a comet comes in, it goes around the sun also. And the arc may be very large. It may not come back for 2,000 or 3,000 years. On the other hand, like Halley's Comet, it may come back in 75 or 76 years. But when it goes around this way, and the earth is going around this way, then the two of them and the juxtaposition of them at times, when the comet goes behind the sun, the earth can't see it. And so I think that's when the comet went out. I believe it was one that was chosen by God. Now, here are the scriptures I'm referring to. Following a wandering star, Jude 13b. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They would appear suddenly, then they would disappear suddenly, and they were believed to have gone in the blackness of darkness forever. Revelation 8:10a, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. I believe that this star, of course, marked the birth of Christ. It was a star of love. But I believe wormwood is a star of judgment. And just as this star appeared at the birth of Christ, at the coming of Christ again, the star will reappear, another comet that God chooses. It may even be the same comet, for all I know, but it will suddenly appear. But this time, it is a star of judgment. It is not a star of love to announce his coming. It is a star to announce his coming, but this time, not out of love, but out of judgment. And this star is going to run into the earth. Revelation 8:10a, and the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven. Matthew 3:9b, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, a star of love and a star of judgment. This is Halley's Comet orbit coming in here that you see in yellow. This little tiny speck in red is the sun. All these others, Kohoutek, Kaysaya, Tempel 2, Holmes, all these are different comet orbits. Sometimes they come in a long elliptical orbit, sometimes a short elliptical orbit, sometimes they come in a wide orbit and don't come back for 2,000 or 3,000 years. But they all have the same feature. They get on the other side of the sun. First they appear, people see them, then they disappear. Then they reappear again. First it's like something that's born, then it dies, and then it is reborn again. Now, when this comet comes in that is chosen by God and is going to strike the earth, it's wormwood. But when the comet came in at the time of Christ, the comet came in, the earth's orbit went around like this, it went around behind the sun, and it was visible like a newborn star at first. Anytime a comet comes in, when it first makes its appearance, it starts to put off a tail, as you see here. The ultraviolet radiation from the sun causes melting. It goes around behind the sun and is visible with a long tail. But if the earth is rotating over here, what the earth sees is when it comes around here, then the earth goes on around here, and then it sees it on the other side. So this is not uncommon for a comet to appear and reappear. Let me put this in a capsular form. The star of the birth of the king. This diagram, I think, will help to explain what I'm trying to put across. In the spring of 5 BC, Jesus is born. The wise men see the star of Jesus on the first pass by the earth while shepherds are abiding in the field. We now move from the spring of 5 BC to the winter of 5 BC, or early in 4 BC. So we've moved from spring in 5 BC either to the winter of 5 BC or very early in 4 BC. The wise men arrive before King Herod. The wise men see the same star on its second pass around the earth, and its tail fades overhead when they arrive at the right spot in Bethlehem. Either that or it suddenly stands still. Joseph and Mary are there because it is once again the time of the Passover. Now, why weren't Mary and Joseph at Nazareth on this second pass? When the decree was sent out by Augustus to gather all the people for taxation, they would not have done this at a random time. I'm sure in my own mind that what they did when they sent out the taxation notice, they sent it out just before the Passover, because all the males had to come to Jerusalem at the Passover. They would have sent it out in the spring, and they all came down, and Mary and Joseph, they came down before the Passover. They would have announced it before the Passover. Mary and Joseph came back to the home city of their parents, which was his parents, which he was the descendant of David, and he went to the city of David. That's what they were doing in Bethlehem when the Christ child was born. But the next year, at the same time, they would have come back down again to Jerusalem, and you couldn't get a place in Jerusalem. So they were down at Bethlehem again in the city of Bethlehem, and so it's a year later when the wise men show back up. Late 4 BC, we now move from winter of 5 BC or early in 4 BC, and in late 4 BC, Herod dies. Joseph and Mary return with Jesus from Egypt. Herod was not certain as to the exact date of the Messiah, and he wanted to make sure he had him killed. So he chose to have all those born in Bethlehem under 3 years old put to death. If you were 2 years old and under, you were put to death. Verse 16 in Matthew 2:16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, if you look at the manger scene we've got over in front of the parsonage, you'll see that we have the wise men there. I don't think that bothers the Lord at all. It's not accurate, but they look pretty good there, and everybody's always liked to believe that that's the wise men that showed up at the exact time of Christ's birth, and that isn't true. The reason that Mary and Joseph weren't back in Nazareth was because both times they had been required to come to Jerusalem for a different purpose. They had to go back to the city of their father's birth, and I imagine that what happened was, since most of them were born down in that southern section there and were descendants of Judah, Herod probably had it sometime before the Passover. I would imagine that it was well before the Passover. Probably he had the thing set maybe way back in March or February, and they had to come down, but they would be in a position, most of them of Judea, to go there. But what I've told you is speculation. The only thing that isn't speculation is the fact that there was a star. Wise men did follow it. It did come to over the house. They did find the house, and God was involved in it all. Now, God could have just made a star, and he may have. And God could have made it very low, and he may have. And God could have made it just where the wise men alone would see it. That's possible. The important thing is not how God did this, but that God did it. And I want to tell you, if he did it this way,
brother, there is nobody that can even start to do something like this except God. They couldn't do this with all the computers in the world and all the NASA hardware that they have. This would be an intricate, delicate movement where you had to pick out just the right size comet at just the right time and send it into the solar system, knowing all the gravitational pulls and the effect that every single planet in our solar system would have on it. You would have to have all knowledge, all understanding. You would have to be perfect in every way. You would have to be able and capable of making a mistake, and that fits God and nobody else. So regardless of how this was done, it was a miraculous act. And this is the time of year that the one who did that miraculous act reminds us of the birth of his son. Now, I believe that God made whatever that was, whether it was a comet or not, I don't know. And I believe God positioned it perfectly. That's why I'm still in the ministry. Because I believe that when God says he does something, he does it. I think God wants us to be curious about how he does it. A lot of people say, well, I'm not interested in that stuff. That doesn't make... Well, I am. I think God wants us to be curious about how he did it. But I think the important thing, I know the important thing, is to understand that he did it. If I can't serve a God who could do this, then who in the world am I going to serve? If I can't worship a God who could do this, then who in the world am I going to worship? So every time I get down and I get low and things don't seem going right, my carnal man seems to take over. I just remind myself of who parted the waters of the Red Sea. I remind myself of who turned water into wine. I remind myself of who created a star, whether it be a comet or not, that led the wise men. I just, in my own mind and heart, I say, what a fool you are. What a silly fool you are to be discouraged and to be depressed and to be worried and concerned when this is your God. This is the one who calls you into the ministry. This is the one who leads you. This is the one who watches over and protects you. I'd be a fool not to serve him. And I think it's a lot like Brent said. A lot of people receive the gift of salvation. It's given. It's free. But then for some reason, they're not interested in opening up the gift and seeing what's inside and what it is. They're perfectly satisfied with the gift itself. I don't have to go to hell. But they don't seek the kingdom of God, because if they'd open it up and look inside it, it's the living word of God. And there's where all the promises and the wonderful rewards and blessings God has waiting for his people. So I wish more people would open the gift that God's given them. And I'll be eternally grateful to you for that illustration. Brent, that's the best I've ever heard. Did you make that up or did you get that from somebody? Well, I'll tell you what, you did a magnificent job. That is just the best illustration I ever heard of it. And I didn't bother to tell the people that you gave it to me. I never do. I just took full credit for it. But I figure you got it from the Lord. I might as well steal it from you. Brother Charlie Holloman, would you dismiss us?